Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how broad is your scope of universal knowledge? How much do you know outside of third-dimensional reality that would be very helpful? And perhaps we should all know a lot more. And so we're going to be speaking again with a recent guest on Energy Stew, who's somebody who really has traveled in the Netherlands of other places outside of this mundane world that we know. And so he is so full of knowledge, someone who, you know, has been around the universe a million times. and I get such joy talking with him because he, you know, it's experience. He's been there and has had these very profound universal experiences that allow us to really get grounded in what he's saying, even though it's so far out that we can't imagine anybody can be grounded, including him. So we're going to explore with Stephen Popiotek the outside world as well as the inside world. So Stephen, welcome back to Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter. It's good to be back with you. And likewise, a pleasure to be with another fellow traveler in our bridge building together.
Yes, I'm so glad that I can tune in to universal energies and appreciate so much of what you do and what you see, what you hear, where you've been, where you've traveled to, and how much you can tell us about what's going on in and around us that we, most of us, have no idea at all.
It's definitely a lot of clouds that try to obscure our perception on many levels, emotionally, mentally, a lot of organized static, you know, structures that sometimes they're like the debris in your windshield wiper that you need to clean off of your third eye lens.
But I think that's very true, is that there's so much hidden information that has been secreted from us, that and even to the degree that we keep getting confused by flack.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like sometimes you have to use it. You're looking at a telescope, but you may need to use a microscope, right? It's like learning how to switch lenses or switch perspective so you can zoom in on a tinier scale, or if you want to zoom out, you can zoom out too. But they try to keep the collective more in a tunnel vision, so we're just like flattened out, you know, 2D perception almost, not even 3D sometimes. We're just trying to create a flattened out, you know, melodrama of mediocrity.
You
know?
All right, when you just said something that they try. So we're going to look at, you know, because it's not just, I don't think there's just one they.
Yeah, this is true. No, it's definitely a collective encompassing that terminology.
And I don't know that there's a general consensus among this collective.
Yeah, because there are many different players involved. I mean, if you want to jump into the deep end of the pool a little bit fast and pull back, and then we can scope out things more specifically, just in terms of that, what you mentioned right now about the quotations of the they, of course, we hear about, like, you know, the most infamous of the they are what people call, like, the Illuminati, right? And there's a lot of information, a lot of misinformation, a lot of disinformation about that organization, you know, that's out there, that, you know, that's been made famous through media's in entertainment industry, through different documentaries, whistleblowers. For me, like, I'll just distill a few key points about them so people have a little bit of perspective. From my years of research with it and inside contacts that I've had, I've met a few involved in these organizations in the very high levels, including someone connected to someone I know in Switzerland. That's all I'm gonna say with that one, who was involved with one of the inner circles of one of the infamous families. and also with my own psychic work and shamanic work and dealing with certain clients and doing shamanic tracking with attacks that I get sometimes from different people psychically, magically. We also learn about the infrastructure of that, as well as other people that are kind of like part of my team, let's call it that, or my, as a very loose word, because different people I work with that will combine data with when we need to do certain tracking projects together. So anyway, so the Illuminati on the most basic level, so one of the common theories that people talk about them is that they're ancient bloodlines, or a lot of them are claimed to be bloodlines that are very old. And that some claim that there were 13 families. That seems to be the more publicly talked about one. I would say that that's actually not true. It's actually, from what I've heard from the higher level sources, that there are 25 families.
Wow.
25 families will appoint 8 other groups at different intervals in history, so they can always have the number 33, which they're obsessed about 33. They love their 13, but they love their 33 as well. there was one friend of mine years ago who wrote a little quote-unquote fictional book called Chosen. His name was David Bohannon. I haven't heard from him for years, but the book is probably still accessible. And he had been involved in some of these organizations as well. And a lot of material he's written there is quite literal, but he changes a little bit of names, like Rockefeller is Stoneheller, you know, things like that. Kissinger is mentioned as Killinger, you know, and he'll change certain narratives, but there are principles in there. So he's just one of the few ones that's not known, but he's written some interesting stuff that would entice people to look at it deeper. He was also one of the few people that confirmed to me years ago when I was first undergoing research about one of the deities that the Illuminati likes to worship, because of course these organizations do work with specific extraterrestrials that are deified, you know, so they'll go by certain names that we know about in culture and mythology. And Set is one of them. And he's like the Egyptian god that fought Osiris, and that Osiris, that Horus had to go against, you know, that the Lion King movie was basically, you know, a rendition of the Horus, Osiris, Isis mythology, you know, with a little bit different characterizations. His evil uncle was like Horus's evil uncle, which is Set. So, you know, you have these archetypal plays that are also set in stage that are introduced in historical context as well as in media. And then the behind the scenes groups. Anyway, so he had also confirmed that the eye of the dollar bill is really the eye of Set, and that we need to, on a higher level, we need to transmute that to make it the eye of Horus, the positive solar eye, and not this darker one, because the banking industries, of course, are at the center point, you know, of the Illuminati's tentacle system. You know, of course, they're the major players behind the money supply. And one reason why Switzerland it's so neutral, it's because it's some of the top people in Illuminati or in Switzerland. they've had their thrones there for a long time. So it's a false neutrality, because they're controlling a lot of the dynamic of conflict, you know, from some of their little pulpits there. Anyway, so yeah, so that number 33, and that some of the higher level, it's also not just like that we hear about the Rothschilds are one of the families in that group as well. Just, you know, to bring up modern name people know about. I knew somebody that was connected that had worked for them. The level of their power is a lot stronger. I mean, all these families are trillionaire families, or not billionaire families. So you're not going to find, you know, on Forbes, you know, richest lists, which they, you know, incorrectly put, you know, for example, like Bill Gates or other people from Amazon, Bezos. Those are the public figures, you know, and even people like Gates, Bill Gates, are like the puppets for these higher henchmen. They're more like the henchmen of a higher organizational superstructure that you don't hear advertised in the media, because they own the media. It's the 1% of the 1% that own the corporations that have basically bought up so much of the mainstream media. So you're not gonna hear even families that you know about, like the Rothschilds or Habsburgs, you know, you never really hear about them, only maybe under humanitarian guise or charitable functions. You know, they don't go into the nitty-gritty of saying, well, the Rothschilds actually own the Suez Canal, or, you know, the whole network of banking industry was started by the Rothschilds in the 1700s, which historically is a fact. So people tend to forget history. And so, you know, he who controls the narrative now, right, is what people get obsessed about. We have this ADD culture where it's like so much information overload. People have very little, you know, retention in a mainstream normally, unless they really focus, because they're being trained that way, right? Everything is very fast, very quick. You know, it's like the Western society, you know, give someone 2 hours of, you know, information in 1 minute, you know, you know, it's very like, or like very superficial level, like with some of the social media where you can, you know, put little blurbs like on Twitter, you know, people used to just reading a couple of sentences and that's it, you know, without getting into deep discourse, and they create all this fight and drama around this few sentences, you know. You know, it's a little side note, but it's just, you know, we have to kind of step back and just observe that we want to understand reality. We also have to be in a deeper center so we can kind of widen our wavelength, widen our scope so we can be able to encompass a larger radius of many things happening simultaneously and be able to distinguish, you know, or zoom in as you want to, you know. And
well, it feels to me, though, that we're in a time of the crumbling of this empire.
Yes. Now, I would say for sure, and this is one of the reasons why the corona situation is, you know, manifested, is that it's kind of like one of the few things left in their arsenal to try to corral the masses towards, you know, towards manipulating the mass consensus attention.
Right, and control them.
Yes, to control them and also have people give away their free will through, you know, a kind of false exchange of like, oh, well, we're going to take away your rights because we want to protect you. You know, we want to make sure you're healthy, so give us all your constitutional rights.
That happened after 9/11 also.
100%. This is literally like stage, next level stage of everything they galvanized with the wars and the Patriot Act and the Homeland Security, you know, police state machine being created from 9/11. One incident, they've kind of like, you know, are doing it in a more sloppy way for this incident now because it's kind of all over the place. And also because there are players in our current government, you know, some of the light workers that are behind the scenes, the white hats, you know, even though people have all sorts of polarized views of Trump, which, yeah, he's definitely a court jester archetype and trickster card. On a higher level, there are things he's doing that are very positive that mainstream media will always demonize him for, because the mainstream media is controlled by the main corporations that are tied into the deep state and the Illuminati family.
It's amazing that they've given him the freedom to break down all their structures so much.
And that,
even though he's doing it in a corrupt fashion.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing people don't understand. Anybody who's going to be on that level, you're not going to have someone like, I mean, at least hopefully, well, as we go in the near future, I think especially after we're going more into, not this election, but the next one, you know, 2024, 2025, energies then are going to be a lot more amazingly positive if we stay this timeline we're on. It's just a lot of turbulence between now and then, I feel, is that's like kind of like making the boat tilt back and forth, you know, and trying to polarize people so that they end up objectifying in a negative way puppet figures or even positive, potentially positive figures, and make them into dark ones so people are thrown away, you know, and their choice options. You know, I mean, although it's good that we're getting negative attention towards people like Gates and, you know, things that are going on, you know, but it's kind of like they're still they're almost like fall guys to me for the Illuminati still, that are being put out there to showcase how much the public's resentment as well as attraction can fall for this bait that's basically being sown in this web of possibilities, you know, vaccinate, no vaccinate, you know, it's like, you know, where they want to create this binary, you know, type of amplifying the polarity with like limited choice options, you know, both in media and solutions and policy making.
And controlling the narrative so that if you have any objection to it, you're considered a conspiracy.
Exactly. YouTube, Facebook, censor, truth crap. Yeah. No, exactly. And that's the thing. It's funny because you'll hear Trump even using words like deep state. Now he's going after the deep state even recently, and people still don't understand. This is not about a Republican Democratic fight. It's not about choices like that. We're talking about, you know, the word deep state has been used far more years before this politics of left and right came in with the modern administration. You know, it's more of the long-term career intelligence officials, corporate intelligence officials, parts that Eisenhower warned us about the dangers of the military-industrial complex and stuff that Kennedy talked about when he discussed in, you know, one of his later speeches about this vast network of you know, the threat that we're facing, where they had their own, you know, where we're facing this threat of an organization that, you know, had infiltrated so many levels of society and had their own like military sectors and economic powers, like money creation and politics. You know, it was almost like a parallel society group. And he was really pretty much just directly talking about this, you know, system, you know, that some call the Illuminati, but it's like a system because you have many parties involved that watch each other's backs, even though they may have opposite desires sometimes what they want to create. They also feed off the energy of chaos, and they basically feed off that energy of, like you said, controlling the narrative and controlling the options so that people, you know, are caught in that negative triangle of like problem, reaction, solution, you know, kind of idea where it's like
based on fear.
Exactly. Where they'll engineer a problem off, you know, see public's reaction to it, offer a solution that's not a real solution, that's just designed to manipulate the public policy to go towards what they originally wanted to create. Like after 9/11 with all the acts of taking away our rights and police state monitoring, that would never have been accepted a few years before that. You know, if there wasn't something to galvanize public opinion towards that new externalized demon, so to speak, you know, that was the terrorist at the time. So, now it's the virus, you know?
Right. And so nowadays we have so many people waking up to their limitations. and wanting, you know, to have more control in their lives and more ability, more choice. And we also have some politicians who are willing to break down the system. And then we have Trump in there, who's a wild card. And it's interesting that they haven't eliminated him, you know. Yeah.
I think also because, like I said, he's been good at double dealing at time, you know, and playing both sides of the fence. But also he's got a strong contingency, I think, of just, you know, people in the military agencies also that are, you know, that want to have a change. You know, there's definitely are this existence of the white hats. You know, I mean, I had a friend that worked for one of the agencies in FEMA, and you know, he had a bunch of friends in the NSA, and he goes, NSA is, you know, he had confirmed some of the mind control stuff that I went through from my own personal experience, the people from the NSA that were harassing me years ago. And he's like, oh yeah, he goes, I can confirm half of that, you know, mind control technology, what you just said, you know, just based upon what I know from my friends in the NSA. And he goes, yeah, there are the white hats and the black hats is how we kind of refer to them. And like the black hats in the NSA, for example, want to use the technology that they have, very advanced technology for like mind control and manipulating people's emotional states, that they want to use it for social engineering and for more of a total control of the population. You know, whereas the white hats feel like that's their opposite. They feel like that's totally immoral and negative, and they don't want people to be manipulated by that. So there's, you know, he had said something like, you know, 60% or something of the NSA didn't really know what was going on, and 40% was divided, you know, in this white hat, black hat category, you know. And that's why a lot of things kind of get, you know, cloudy out there. So it can get pretty complicated because you have this internal, you know, kind of in-house fighting that's gone on in a lot of the intelligence agencies, you know.
Yeah, there's all these power struggles, and you get, you know, the Attorney General and the Secretary of State who, I don't know what their gig is, but it's pretty crazy.
Well, yeah, and you start looking at organizations where, like, you know, people in the past, like Cheney and Bush's, and seeing, like, different, you know, like how a lot of them are part of like the Knights of Malta or different like chivalry, like knighthood groups, which are usually traced back to, you know, the Illuminati likes to use these chivalry organizations as ways to honor titles upon their members that can go more official, more public, you know, I mean, you know, so there's a lot of things you start following common organizations or looking at like CEOs or board of directors of different corporations, from pharmaceuticals to defense contractors, and you start seeing how there's a whole network that's formed between them, where one will leave one, they'll go to another, all of a sudden then they, or they'll retire from a Lockheed Martin or, you know, other group, and all of a sudden now they're like the head of the, you know, they're like they were also like a general or admiral in the Navy or Army. You know, there's all this like cross-pollinating, you know, in the corporate military industrial intelligence, you know.
And there's also different levels of knowledge about all of these secret programs, et cetera, that, you know, a lot of people have no idea, even though they're important in the world, and then they're being manipulated too.
Very, very compartmentalized. And I think a lot of that happened when they understood that it was important to go to the commercial sector or have this, you know, what I'd also seen before, you know, it's been talked about more by other whistleblowers now, but I saw this years ago and, you know, tapped in as well, that there was like this, you know, kind of like members of different board of directors of different corporations got together and they created their own secret corporation, if you would, that combined assets of different black op projects that each corporation had access to, different programs, and they decided to create their own little, you know, dynasty of capitalistic, you know, opportunistic, you know, investments to be like, okay, how can we fast track or work with this high level technology that the public sector has no idea exists, you know, and a lot of them will then work in different, you know, underground facilities that the government has or will rent out or have the army or other groups protect those bases where these corporations, you know, are seeding the uppermost levels, right, of like secret space programs, technology that we have that's like, you know, 100 years ahead of what we have in the mainstream, at least, you know, and they'll drop little clues here and there, like I mentioned last show with you, with the Navy dropping 3 patents out that finally got approved last year that, you know, are like Star Trek-like technologies that they threw out there to the mainstream public. You know, and it's like, but people aren't really running with it to actually make it yet. I find that interesting. It's like, so they can put it out there and they're also gauging, well, is anybody going to follow up with this? Like, we'll give you literally the blueprints to build fusion. We'll give you blueprints to build this spaceship that people are seeing, the triangular ships, tell you how to make this thing that, you know, creates its own little reality bubble and gravitational waves, but yet people still think like it doesn't exist, or no one really makes it publicly yet. You know, so it's really interesting.
Comprehend it, and maybe the consciousness isn't even able to see it.
That's also true. I think that's a very good point. And because it definitely did reach some mainstream news sources when it came out, but then it kind of fell back under the water again.
Yeah, because consciousness isn't there yet. Mm-hmm. You know, things are in their right timing, right place. And so you've had experiences in your life, and you work with many people who have experiences directly with these clandestine operations that know each other. And it's not like, you know, people running around with a vivid imagination. These are clear life experiences that people have and have great detail, historical life experience detail about it.
Yeah, I would definitely say a combination for sure. People that have been in different communities working in certain capacities or had family relations in those organizations, or people that had military abductions like I talk about on YouTube, that were also involved, or ex-military that had been involved in further projects and they even knew about, you know, when they left and they realized they were still being harassed or were involved in things. So yeah, there's a lot of different like information sourcing. And for me, because like I said, I'm more of like a metaphysician and a shaman and on a larger level first. So I can hear all information, but unless I have to check it. I have to check its validity. So because I can hear someone's story, you know, if they were there. But if that's why I like to work with these, if some of these people that are of light, because I've also had to turn away some people that try to infiltrate, you know, my group's activity work or try to get me to do work on them. And my guides were like, get the F away, you know, because they were not there authentic. They were not there from an honest space of integrity wanting help. They were there trying to dissect how I do my work. How can I shut down some of their mind control programs that I've done with some people, with the guides and angels? Because I also get a lot of harassment from working with some of these other people too, and from my own storyline as well, what I've been involved with. So it's, you know, it's been a constant trek of like, you know, upgrading my own shields and strengthening my own unity and trying to rise above some of the duality so I don't get sucked into the drama behind it. At the same time, try to bring light, you know, divine love and divine justice to it.
Well, that's the point, is that you're really a light shaman and you're here, you know, with multidimensional consciousness to experience this and see it in the perspective that's needed.
Yeah, thank you. I would definitely, yeah, for sure. And then it's definitely, I mean, I it's like the rabbit holes are like a network of rabbit holes for me in that sense. When I look at different people's storylines and what they've been involved with, I gather more of like a meshwork of how different projects are related to each other, you know. And I mean, and there's just so many things that would blow people away. So many things that we get exposed to in seeds in our mainstream sci-fi shows or movies, like the Marvel series of different superhero movies. There's so many things that are being done in these DC and Marvel TV shows and movies that are seeding people's consciousness towards being on a higher level, open to some of these possibilities, you know, like right. Things that we didn't have before, like time travel, parallel reality travel, you know, aliens, space, you know, space travel. All those things are so common, you know, in our sci-fi media, you know, that it's become like it's also for star people and wanderers or star seeds that are here. It triggers a sense of for those that are not awakened yet. It also like it triggers a sense of familiarity, because for people that are from starfaring nations where we travel anyway, like Star Trek civilizations that are multidimensional. Yeah, this is normal for us, right? You know, it's only sci-fi for like human type people, you know, that have been indoctrinated with traditional educational systems that have limited their view of what is possible with technology, you know, and consciousness, you know, as being something very distinct from their spirit when it can be integrated, you know, from a larger viewpoint. And so in a way, it's also like preparing people, I think, to be more open to receiving, you know, more conscientious visitations from our galactic families that are preparing to, you know, make the stage with us and welcome us into a new grander state of evolution.
But that's going to open up more and more and more. In the meantime, there's so many people who just can't hear you, just, you know, just like they can't identify these advanced technologies that are that they you know, that there are patents on, and you can't have a patent unless you can prove it. Yeah. You know, so you know, these aren't sci-fi, these are real.
Yeah.
But people aren't grasping it because they're not consciously prepared to, just as a lot of people aren't consciously prepared to hear you or hear me.
Sure. It's like they have to be, because I find also, especially now with the current drama going on with the current situation, that they really have tried to use more of their direct energy, like weapon technologies, to pulse certain frequencies over different cities to augment, especially during the first few weeks of Corona. There was such a dark grid of energy over New York City that we had to really clear out and work through. That was like, it was creating negative feedback loops between people's fear bodies, emotional bodies, and anxiety, where some of these intelligence groups were literally pumping frequencies from negative timelines to try to make people feel like we were so surrounded. And
it was amazing, the energies and how dark they were.
Amazing.
And they're clearing out now.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
God, we had a lot.
I'm sure you're helping that too.
Oh my God, that was one reason my guides had to stay in New York. You know, even like in the travel still, but still, like, you know, try to anchor more live people here and do the conference calls and the group stuff, because some of the shit is like, wow, it was amazing. Us too, like, wow, they really come. All the dark creatures coming out of the woods, dark covens, dark intelligence agencies, to eat negative ETs. They were all creeping out of the shadows, feeding off of this opportunity to try to use the Corona as an anchor point.
And you had to do a lot of shamanistic work about that.
Yeah, oh my God. So I was pretty horrified. I was like, oh my God, what the hell timeline are we going into? We got to get out of this timeline and bring a new one here, because we don't need this new freak show to be norm. But instead of transmitting more of that, you know, they're trying to hold on still to more of the grounded side of what they try to normalize in our society from Corona situation, right? You know, still trying to normalize certain levels of control and measures that we really need to be vigilant about, so that we don't give our power away to make something the norm when it's supposed to be temporary, you know, and that's important.
Right. That's true. But we're really running out of, we've run out of time.
Oh, all right, that's fast. Yeah.
So, how can people contact you?
Yeah, I'm the only one with my name on Facebook and on YouTube. So I have a YouTube channel where you can find videos, and on my channel there's a playlist which has other linked up videos.
And it's Stephen, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Popiotech, P-O-P-I-O-T-E-K.
Yeah, and also email if you want to is PsiJumper, psijumper@gmail.com.
That's cool.
And there's a website called beginTheHeal.com. That's different practitioners on it. I'm one of the practitioners on there too. beginTheHeal.com. Yeah, thank you again, Peter.
No, thank you. It's always great. Wonderful. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.fm. I can be reached at Peter at HeartRiver, HEART River.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.
Blessings.
Blessings.
Yeah.